Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, let's go back to the Progressive guest line. At Progressive, we're making things easier for you. We'll help you bundle your home and car insurance together so you can save on both. Learn more at progressive.com or 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. Kyle Draper joins us, Kings TV play-by-play announcer. Sacramento getting ready for the opening round of the playoffs against the Golden State Warriors. How are you, Kyle? Thanks for joining us.
What's up, guys? Thanks for having me on.
How would you describe the season of the Sacramento Kings? How would you best describe the way this team plays?
I would say edge of your seat, thrilling, magical. I'm trying to think of all the
nice.
The
I like that.
to come up with, because here's the thing about the Sacramento Kings. We may not win every game, but every game's surely exciting. We're in every game. You know, there's no, 80 to 78 or 95 to 93s. This team has scored more than 100 points in every game except for this season, I believe. It's a historic offense, and the shots may not always fall, but you'll definitely be entertained with this team.
For those people who have caught glimpses of them late night, can't stay up to watch them when they're playing on a Tuesday and on national TV, can you give us an idea of where this team came from? How long this journey was? Is a three seed surprising, or did you always see it sort of being building up? De'Aaron Fox is a great player. Who else is contributing? Where did this all begin, and how did this progress?
You know, I at first thought I was going to say it happened overnight. But I'll go back to trade deadline a season ago, not this past season, a season ago when they brought in Domantas Sabonis. And Sabonis in the trade, obviously Tyrese Haliburton was a fan favorite. Everybody loved him. Everybody was hurt when he was traded. But Sabonis landed in Sacramento the morning after the trade was made, went through his physical, did everything, and played that night in the game against Minnesota, and went out there and had a double-double. And so you saw just what Monty McNair, our GM, saw in this guy. And the atmosphere was electric. De'Aaron Fox played his best game of the season. And all of a sudden, you started to think about this two-man game called Fox and the Ox. De'Aaron Fox and the Ox is Domantas Sabonis. And you started to say, okay, I see something there. But no one expected the third seed in the West. We were hoping for a play-in, maybe six seed kind of season. But, man, this team has been rolling. Outside of the 0-4 start, they haven't lost three games in a row since November. I mean, it's just been tremendous. And I give Mike Brown and the players, the guys like Kevin Herter, who's a newcomer, Malik Monk. I mean, they just upgraded the talent, too, guys. Let's keep it real. You know, the last couple of years, it was a borderline G League roster that the Kings were rolling out there. You had guys, playing rotation minutes that aren't even in the league anymore. And so I think they upgraded the roster, and you have two all-stars, and that's where I first started to see that, this team can actually compete.
121 points per game. What does that look like? Is it a fast team? Is it a more efficient team, but still same tempo? Or is this quick, blink of an eye, they can overcome deficits or bury you?
Oh, it's quick, blink of an eye. It's frenetic. It's breakneck pace. And it's not like the old Phoenix Suns 7 seconds or less.
Sure.
It's more execution, half court. Guys are always cutting, moving. It's sort of like Golden State light almost, but they play a lot through Domantas Sabonis. And there was a game a few days ago, about a week or so ago, and I can't remember who it was against. I'll have to look it up. But they weren't playing that well. They were down at the half. And in past years, when the Kings aren't playing well and when they're down, you think, all right, we're not going to win this one. But it's at a point now, guys, where even if you're trailing by 8-10 at the half, there's this belief that you can't hold this offense down the full 48. And that's what happened. Third quarter, they come out and score 42 points, and then they run away with the win. And so I just think this offense, like I said, the shots may not always be falling, but they put so much pressure on opposing defenses that you know, eventually somebody's going to get hot, whether it's Fox or Herter or Malik Monk, Keegan. I mean, they have multiple guys now that can get you 20 points on any given night.
Kyle Draper joins us, Kings play-by-play announcer, as Sacramento gets ready for Golden State. So I got kind of a two-part question here about this series with Golden State. One, give us your assessment of Golden State. This is a team that wins games at home. Road record's not that good. They're the defending champs. Maybe there's a championship hangover and they flip the switch. But the second question is, and this is more kind of like give us an idea of the relationship in Northern California, the Sacramento-Golden State dynamic. Is it a rivalry? Are the cities kind of rivals? How does that work? So the first part, your assessment of the Warriors, and then give us kind of the general history of the two teams in Northern California.
I think the Warriors are a team to be reckoned with. I think they're a scary team. You know, one thing in this matchup I'm worried about is Golden State's number two in offense in terms of points per game. And so if they get hot with their shooting, I mean, it could be a 130-128 kind of playoff game. And so that scares me a little bit. Obviously, Steph Curry and the boys, that scares me. And so I just think, you know, this is a great matchup of, you know, a coach in Mike Brown that knows his former squad, knows the Warriors well. And I think it's going to be a good series. You know, I think the most important game is going to be game one, because if the Kings lose game one, then all this talk about the Warriors unable to win on the road or whatever, that goes out of the door. Regarding the rivalry, it is a rivalry among the fans this season. I wouldn't say that there's a rivalry when it comes to the cities. I think there's sort of a little brother complex when it comes to Sacramento, when they look at San Francisco. I can say also that there's a little superiority complex when you talk to people from the Bay Area and you tell them you live in Sacramento, they sort of thumb their nose up at you a little bit, you know what I mean? What's interesting about the rivalry on the court, fans of the Warriors during the regular season have had a loud presence inside Sacramento's home arena. And, you know, I'll go in the air and it pains me, you know, to see so many Warriors fans. You're talking 35-40% of the audience, the crowd, Golden State fans. And so I think that adds a little more fuel to this come game one, because I'm interested to see how many Warriors fans will actually be able to get in the door. This is a historic game for the Sacramento Kings. And so you would hope that Sacramento fans would fill that building. But then you look at some of the prices that these tickets are going for on the resale market. Oh, my gosh. And so I couldn't blame someone for selling their tickets, you know, a $200 ticket for $1,500 or whatever. You know, I get it. I understand it. But there's definitely a rivalry among the fan bases. But I liken the Warriors fan base to what the Sacramento Kings fan base is. So the Kings fan base is sort of what the Warriors fan base was before Steph Curry, you know? And so I went on the radio show the other day, and I said, the Warriors, they're not a blue blood legacy franchise. Let's not act like, you know, they've had decades of dominance. They found new wealth in Steph Curry. And so, but if you talk to Warriors fans, you would think that they're in the same category as the Lakers or the Celtics or some of these, you know, legendary franchises.
Mike Brown, and I like stories like this. He's in the league. He's a head coach. He's in Cleveland. He goes to the Lakers. He goes back to Cleveland one more time. Then he's out of the head coaching job, but he's in a high profile position in Golden State. He's filling in when Steve Kerr can't coach. He spends a good amount of time there. And then he gets hired, and it's 30 wins, 30 handful, 30 wins. And now it's 48 victories this season.
Right, right.
What is he walking into, and how does he turn a 30-win team into the 3 seed in the Western Conference?
Well, Mike Brown will be the first to admit he's a different coach than he was at his previous stops in Cleveland and the Lakers. And he says, and he said it the other day, one of the things he's learned is how to read his players, how to listen to his players. You know, he admits he's sort of an OCD kind of guy, detail-oriented, you know. He's so prepared. And he works his players extremely hard. And at times, you know, this season he's listened to his veterans, his, the Harrison Barnes of the world, the Matthew Dellavedovas, you know, guys who have been in the league a number of years, and he is able to gauge the mood, the psyche of his team a lot better. As great as Mike Brown is, and, you know, when you talk to coaches around the league, that one of the things they say is he's a motivator, whether you're guy 1 through 13. But one thing that's happened, the players have bought into him. And when you have that mix, guys, you can have a magical season.
Kyle Draper, again, Kings TV play-by-play announcer on Sacramento. Light the beam, my friend. Thank you so much for joining us. I appreciate it.
All right, take care. Talk to you guys.
You got it.
Thanks,
guys. Again, Kyle Draper on a Progressive Guest Line talking Sacramento Kings. We'll come back, wrap up the show, get you set for, tonight's play-in games in the 9-10 region of the NBA.